This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Going out of the closet's really nerve-wracking, especially telling your dad, because, like, your dad's your dad, you know? He's the one that teaches you how to play softball, which is, like, the gayest sport there is. In fact, some people call it a gateway sport. Softball, lesbian. There's, like, some straight girl here right now who's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I played softball. Was really good.
I mean, you're gay.
That's comedian Fortune Feimster, who will be coming to St. Louis March 20th. That's today. Or actually, we're talking to her today. Never mind.
I was like, what?
I'm looking at the email.
Yes.
And the email is, I'm stupid.
Let's just get together.
June 5th and June 6th.
My gosh.
She'll be performing here in St. Louis. One of those dates is sold out. So you're going to have to hurry up and get your tickets. And the Taken Care of Biscuits tour is happening
soon.
I love
that name.
It's so good.
Every time I hear that name, I laugh out loud. I can't help myself. Aww.
We have Fortune Feimster with us again.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. I was like, uh-oh, am I supposed to be in St. Louis today?
No, I screwed up. I'm dumb. I can't read right. Look, I don't read so good, so don't worry about what I'm doing.
That's all good. I'm not judging.
Well, so this this tour, what's different about this one than the last time you came through town?
So every hour that I have kind of picks up where the last one left off. I've had 3 hours on Netflix in the last 5 years. So I pick right back up with more stories about my wife and I and, being 10 years together, keeping the romance alive and what that looks like when you're like in the thick of marriage and you're just doing those day-to-day things. And I'm digging back into my childhood, a lot of fun childhood stories and talking about my dad. I talk about my mom a lot, but my dad has not gotten the brunt of a joke, so he's about to be very surprised.
Just fun
stories.
Has he felt left out?
You know, I think he's never said it, but I feel like probably there's a part of him that wants the little bit of that spotlight, but I do tell one embarrassing story about him. I don't know how he's going to feel about it, but it'll be exciting when he finally sees it.
I know. I can't tell. If you're a parent and your child's a comedian, if you feel like if you're not in the jokes, you are left out or you dodged a bullet.
I know. I guess it depends on the story. I don't know how much he's going to love this one. His friends are definitely going to give him a hard time about it.
Yes.
But, But, you know, but then I'll give him $500 for a grill or something, and he'll be fine.
That should take a new grill. He's going to love that. I think every dad loves a new grill.
Right.
Comedian Fortune Feimster is with us. You had the special that came out in December, Crushing It, which is on Netflix. Is the tour a little different, about the same, or is there a completely new material?
It's a whole new hour. Every time a special comes out, you have to start from scratch, which is the most daunting part of my job. So anybody that watched that special or came to the last tour, this is all new stuff. It's really fun. I've been working on this hour for the last 4 months in the club. And every time I go to St. Louis, I have such a blast. They give me toasted raviolis and, last time the venue made me a cake in the shape of a Hooters waitress. So you guys really know how to do it.
Well, we take Hooters very seriously here.
Oh, we love Hooters.
We love Hooters here, yeah.
I know, and it's been going bankrupt, so we got to enjoy it while we can.
I feel like they're trying to save Hooters.
I feel like St. Louis is okay. When something goes bankrupt, this is the last place it leaves.
That's right.
Okay, good. Thank goodness.
Don't know why, but it just seems to work out that way.
Well,
yeah, you guys hold on to the nostalgia.
The old stuff. Oh yeah, we totally.
Yeah, we are standing athwart history, yelling stop at all times. Now you, you talk about, you said in your new special about growing up. I guess this was when you were a little bit older, but you left your home state of North Carolina, moved to California, and you started taking classes at the Groundlings, which is that famous super LA improv theater that like these Saturday Night Live cast members came out of. How did you even find yourself at the Groundlings? How was that whole experience moving from the East Coast?
Pretty crazy. I came out to LA just for like a life opportunity. Like this will be fun. I don't really know what I'm doing. I worked as a PA, a personal assistant, and just was kind of like finding my way around the place. It was so daunting. The city was huge and scary. I remember driving on the freeway for the first time, like having a full-blown panic attack because I'd never been around cars that drove so fast. As soon as I got here, I liked the vibe of it. And just sort of I would ask around town, like, where was the cool place to go see a show, you know, to have something fun to do. And people recommended the Groundlings. And the first show I ever saw was Kristen Wiig. Was on stage.
Wow.
And I thought, this is one of the funniest people I've ever seen. Whatever, I want to do whatever she's doing. And signed up for classes the next week and just kind of started for fun, just as a, like, this will be a cool hobby. And luckily, my teachers encouraged me to keep going, and it quickly became a passion.
Improv is such a different beast than doing stand-up. I mean, stand-up, you have material and you're thinking about it all the time and working on it and refining it. And improv, you just kind of have to be great in the moment. For me, if you're able to do improv, I feel like you could do just about anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, it teaches you how to think very quickly on your feet. And part of what it does is it teaches you to say things without really thinking. And just kind of trusting your brain, which is, you know, very scary at first. You hope your brain is in line with, you know, just something funny or entertaining. And on this tour, I'm actually doing something I haven't done before, which is I'm letting the audience ask. They can write down questions in the lobby, and they're going to put them in a bucket. And at the end of the show, I'm going to answer some of those questions. Just sort of dipping back into my improv roots, and people, you know, I've been doing it in the club and people really enjoy it because it allows me to do that quick thinking comedy, and interact with the audience. So it gives it a very personal feel as well.
I know we've talked about like family members. You brought up your wife and doing shows. And again, I just think of myself. I would be so nervous. Do you ever have to like vet a joke with your wife before you throw it out on stage?
Oh, for sure. I mean, she usually checks in. She used to be at all my shows, and then she got burnt out. Where she was like, okay, I'm good.
Like, I've heard it.
I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, it felt magical at first, and now it's like, okay, I get it. So she'll see it at some point, and, you know, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of where the line is. Yeah. I kind of know, like, what's for us and what's, you know, up for grabs. But you know, if there's anything she didn't love, she could tell me, and you know, you just adjust. Obviously keeping your personal life as the priority is what you want to do. And sometimes she's a producer on my last few specials, and you know, she'll say, what about, like in the last special, she goes, what about the story, you know, where we got in a fight on the quiet train? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, if you don't care, you know, that's funny. And so she'll definitely encourage me to tell certain things. My mom will have notes occasionally where she's like, I don't like, you know, but it's the most random detail, you know, like, where you would never think. It's kind of a throwaway line. And she's like, I didn't like that line you said about how I left you at home alone when you were a teenager. And I was like, come on. You did.
You don't take the notes and do anything with them, right? You tell her, you could tell your mom, I don't do notes.
I tell her the same thing. You want a new grill or not?
How many grills do they have now?
How many grills have you bought?
So many grills. Everyone's grilling in my family. Yeah, I mean, if I can adjust it, I will. I will try to adjust it. Like with that one, I tried and it just didn't work the same. So sometimes I just say to her, like, listen, I tried. It doesn't work as good. And she'll kind of, she's like, all right, fine. Also, can you pay my electric bill this month?
Comedian Fortune Feimster is with us, also an actor. And you've got a show, a series coming out on Netflix. It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger show, which you play. You're part of a father daughter combo, right? That figures out that you've been in the CIA and didn't know it. Is that
so,
what it is?
I'm on the CIA team. He has his daughter's played by Monica Barbara, who has just got nominated for an Oscar for A Complete Unknown. She played Joan Baez, and I'm on the team with them in the CIA. But yeah, it's that the father Arnold and Monica are in the CIA, and neither of them know that each other's in it, and end up on an assignment together. So this will be a season two. It'll come out sometime. I'm not sure when. Later
it's in
on
May.
This year.
Yeah, late May.
Okay. And it's just a really fun action comedy series, and shooting with Arnold is such a blast. Like, it's a trip, you know. He's been famous my whole life, and sitting there army crawling with him while things are exploding around us, and then they yell cut, and he looks at me, and he's like, now you know what I've been doing for the last 40 years. and so trippy. I'm like, I used to watch you like when you were the presidential fitness ambassador, and my fat little 12-year-old body was having to work out to your videos.
That must have been surreal.
Oh, he thinks it's awesome. I'm always like quoting his lines to him. I'm like, get down, let's go, get to the chopper, come on. He gets a kick out of it.
Well, as long as he likes it.
Oh, that's amazing.
As long as he doesn't turn on you, that's good.
He came to my last tour. We were filming in Toronto, and I had a show I did out there. And he came. He's like, I want to see the show. And I was like, yeah, that'd be amazing. And I said, I'll, you know, let you in through the back door. He goes, no, I want people to see me.
His driver pulled
up on the sidewalk at the box office, and here comes Arnold Schwarzenegger getting out of his car. everybody at the show was like, oh my God. So you never know who will pop in.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. What a fun experience.
I love that.
That has to be so surreal. It just has to be. Wow.
Well, oh, yeah. Fortune, I'll tell you, I watch Office Christmas Party every December. So,
oh, I love it.
It's one of my, I love your parts in the movie as the Uber driver. The really, you know, just getting everybody's business.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part, you know, they was a throwaway part and they let me rewrite the whole scene.
Wow.
So that whole thing is just me like throwing stuff at Jennifer Aniston and her having no clue what is coming out of my mouth. So that was a trip, just getting like for her to have such trust in me and not really know me. Was pretty incredible.
That's really awesome. Hey, I know that you're the one show, you've got two shows here at the Factory in St. Louis on the 5th and the 6th of June. The show on the 6th is sold out as of right now, and I suppose tickets could open back up later. But the June 5th show, there are still tickets. We insist that you come by and see us on that day.
Only if you have toasted raviolis.
We will make sure we get you the best.
Whatever your demands, you let us know.
I love it.
No eye contact and toasted raviolis.
That's right.
Yeah, don't look at me while I'm shoving these down my gullet.
You got it. Fortunefeemster.com for tickets for that show, June 5th at the Factory. Fortune, again, thank you for coming on with us. It's good to talk to you again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. So great to talk to you again.
That
Thank
is
you.
Fortune Feimster.
So fun.
She's awesome, man.
Yeah, she's really cool.
I love her. So that June 5th, that is the show that is available right now. You can get tickets at her website, fortunefeimster.com. It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Ranj, we've talked a lot about the Millennium Hotel and the weeds on top of it and how it is going to be, or at least proposed, that the Cordish company would redevelop that entire area and just make it a brand new state-of-the-art development with housing, office, entertainment, and other amenities right there in downtown St. Louis. Of course, the same company that helped that built Ballpark Village. And so here's what's kind of interesting. So companies last year, according to the Post-Dispatch, gave up more office space downtown than they occupied, and more could leave. So businesses leaving downtown put more than 300,000 square feet back at the on the market at the end of last year. And companies, we talked about this, that had been based downtown for decades, left for Clayton, the state of Missouri, left the Wainwright Building at North 7th and Chestnut Streets. However, Cordish, which is the developer behind Ballpark Village, is saying they have proof of concept that, yes, there is a demand for housing, office space, entertainment space right here downtown on the site of the Millennium Hotel at South 4th Street, and that there is interest in it, that large tenants want something that's new, dynamic, and compelling. That is from Ben Albers, Senior Vice President of A Vision Young Real Estate Firm.
If you have something for people to come to, they will do it. And I think corporations will probably do the same thing. So I don't know. That could just be from their end, promotional marketing speak, to try and attract people in, and that's okay if it is that, but I would think that there's probably a lot of truth in that too. And the reason is, think about what they are saying. If in fact that is true, that they have these tenants who say, yeah, we're willing to move into St. Louis, what is the last new building that has been built down here other than Ballpark Village?
No.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I mean, you're right.
There have been renovated buildings, but there have been no new structures or campuses or anything like that downtown St. Louis. Oh, well, the soccer stadium.
Yes.
But that's not offices.
The Railway Exchange Building, the AT&T Tower, and the Wainwright Building all have more than 2 million square feet of empty office space. And that, yes, that's a reality. However, to your point, what about something that's new and that has modern amenities?
Right.
That's impressive that you walk in and say, wow, this is success. This is modernization. This is progress. Your building, your facility does go a long way in sending that message. So maybe it's not just that, oh, well, St. Louis isn't safe. Maybe St. Louis's buildings were kind of old and we need something new and impressive.
Now, there's a place for both. And I think there are companies, businesses that would like the idea of something nostalgic, something older, something that they mm-hmm. could point to and say, hey, we're in this historic building and this is where we hold our office space. And the T-Rex building, for example,
sure,
all that stuff. That's an old building, but they've made it in such a way that it's cool inside, right? And there are companies and businesses that would want that. But you also have others that, exactly what you said, they want something new and exciting and fresh. And we really, other than Ballpark Village, which does have some corporate space mm-hmm. in it, but it's mostly bars, restaurants, sports bar, that kind of thing.
Katie's Pizza.
Katie's
awesome.
Pizza. Other than that, there isn't a whole lot. So it is exciting that something big and in a prominent part of downtown between the stadium and the arch will hopefully be coming in. And I know there's a lot of excitement about it. We are going to talk to Bernie Miklas. When we come back, we'll get his Cardinals thoughts, his March Madness thoughts. The tournament is underway. He's next on KMOX.
The pitch on the way, a swing and a miss for a Redbird winner. Granillo strikes out the side, McKenzie, King, and Williams. And the Cardinals beat the Nationals today, 7-1 at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium in Jupiter.
It is time for Bernie Miklas. Bernie is our guy. He's going to have a lot more space here on this station, just so you know. And this report brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie, a week from opening day, that's where we are right now. How are we feeling about it?
Well, it's intriguing, you know, from the standpoint, you know, still waiting to see, you know, if Victor Scott's going to win the center field position or whether they're going to, you know, kind of go with Lars Nootbaar in center, which would mean Brendan Donovan in left. So that would give them their best chance of good offense in the outfield. So Tom Ackerman just mentioned in the report, you know, they're still trying to decide what to do with the rotation. Are they going to go with 6 or 5 starters? But even if they go with 6 starters, it means Michael McGreevy would be in the bullpen, I assume, early in the season where there's a lot of open days. So I don't have a feel for this Cardinals team. Listen, the expectations are very low. I've been, you know, reading. I always like to look at I don't gamble, but I'm fascinated by what people with the sports books how they assess a team, I guess, is the best way to put it. I'm sorry for that. But, you know, Mizzou is be, excuse me, that's later. I'm having a very sleepy morning. I don't know
that's,
why.
Hey,
so
man.
You know?
How do you think we're going to feel when we start at 9 o'clock instead of 10?
I know.
We have to get
I
up even earlier now next week.
A double espresso really hasn't helped much. But anyway, let me get back on track here. The Cardinals, I've seen projections, you know, anywhere from like 78 wins to 82 wins.
Yeah. Pecota has them at 77.8, but you know how that
yeah,
works.
Yeah. You know, and that that seems to be a logical neighborhood for me. You know, I think they can have a winning season, but a lot of things are going to have to go really, really well for them. And their bullpen has to be as strong as last year, just about. And obviously, their offense needs to do a lot better.
So that's you mentioned Victor Scott and what you're not quite sure what they're going to do or not quite sure how they're going to handle the rotation to start. What do you think they should do? If it's up to you, what are they doing with that center field position? What are they doing with the rotation five or six man?
Well, with Victor Scott, the thing that bothers me about the situation, potentially, if he's the odd man out, is that Ali Marmol and others down there, you know, very, very much frame this as a competition in center field. And they framed it more along the lines of Scott versus Michael Ciani. Now, late in the game here, so to speak, there seems to be more movement along the lines of playing Lars Nootbaar in center. Listen, if they want to play Lars Nootbaar in center to maximize their offense, I can understand that because you have Donovan in left. So, you know, you make sure that Donovan, you know, is in the lineup a lot. I wouldn't have a problem under those circumstances. I wouldn't have a problem with Victor Scott spending a little time in Memphis to start the season. But if the choice is Ciani versus Scott, the competition is a no competition. Victor Scott was challenged. It was laid out. Okay, you're competing for a starting job. He's done everything he could possibly do to win that battle. Ciani has not. And so if Scott gets sent down to Memphis because they want Ciani to play in center field, I don't know, can I use the word travesty? Is that okay?
Yeah, go. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it would be a travesty. And it would not have been a competition at all.
Is there any way... It's a competition in a way that we're not looking at, whether it's the way they're facing, you know, certain pitchers, because you're going to get a variety of big league and minor league pitchers in spring training. Are there some kind of details that we're missing? Because surely, right, surely there's a plan, and surely if the Cardinals are saying it's a competition and it appears that it's not, that they might be using a different grading rubric than we are?
Yeah, the only thing about that is, you're right in terms of the instincts there, because you're always looking for matchups that could decide playing time. But the problem the Cardinals have is they have a bunch of outfielders, and only one of them is a right-handed hitter, Jordan Walker. They are overloaded with left-handed bats, so that kind of limits maybe the variety of what you can do. But if they go Donovan in left and Nootbaar in center, you know, that gives you a pretty good offense. If you go with Nootbaar in left and Scott in center, that gives you a pretty good offense potentially as well. You know, and listen, let's talk about something that's pretty obvious. And I'm a Jordan Walker guy. I think he has a chance to be really special. I haven't given up on him, but we also have to be really candid here. His defense in right field is not good. And I think it's going to get better, but it's not good. And I think Marmol is nervous about, okay, which center fielder is going to give me the best range? Because that center fielder is going to have to cover some of that ground, a lot of that ground between right field and center. But see, in that kind, so Nootbaar would be the least likely guy to cover that ground. He'll be a limited center fielder. He'll be okay, but defensively limited. But Victor Scott could absolutely cover that ground between him and Walker. So, because Victor Scott's very fast, and John Jay's been working with him, you know, sharpening his fundamentals on footwork, angles, things like that. So The Cardinals are just this big jigsaw puzzle, you know, and you're just looking for pieces to snap into place, and it's hard to find them, and something else gets messed up. Like, I don't know where Alec Burleson fits in all of this either. But if they go with Donovan in left and Nootbaar in center, I do think it would open up more DH possibilities for Burleson against right-handed pitching.
And I know they the Cardinals, a lot of teams do this where they like to say that they pride themselves in defense and playing good defense. And historically, for a long time, they did. But, you know, recently, I'd say in the last several years, they've just been okay. How much do you think that would really matter if they add defensively out there, or if they think defensive-minded first in the outfield? Although they may not have much of a choice, to be honest.
Now, my friend, Mr. Raji, let me play the role of obnoxious fact checker, okay?
All right,
can I do that?
Yeah, please,
no,
go ahead.
Their defense was actually good last year. In 2023, it was terrible. And it was embarrassingly poor. And their base running was poor. Their fundamentals in 23 were awful. But I think Ollie Marmol and the coaches cleaned it up last year. But Kevin Wheeler and I have been talking about this, and the whole Gas House gang has been talking about this. You know, what do you prioritize when you have an offense that for 2 years in a row has been well below average? What do you do? Do you make concessions to try to get better bats in the lineup, or do you say, well,
lean into the defense?
Yeah, we're going to lean into the defense because we're probably not going to score a ton of runs, so we're going to have to limit runs. And that was sort of their approach last season. So I just wish the offense would come to life. I wish a lot of these guys would just step up and have a really good season, because it would provide a lot of clarity and we would view the Cardinals in a different way. And some of these guys are capable, and I say that not to be a Pollyanna. It's because of what they've done in their careers. Like, you go back to 2023, Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman were really good. Alec Burleson can hit. There's a lot of guys, Nootbaar and Donovan, high on base percentage guys. Wilson Contreras is a terrific hitter. The 10th best right-handed hitter in the major leagues last season. Over the last two seasons, actually. So they do have the potential with offense. That is not being like the Mr. Drink the Kool-Aid optimist. These guys have done it in the past, but can enough of them put it all together in 2025? If they do, they're going to have a much better team than we think. It's a big if, though.
Yeah. Well, speaking of ifs, Bernie, Lynn Worthy had a piece in the Post-Dispatch today about Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol having to pull off a high wire act this season. So I ask you, assuming you are a major league baseball manager, you are a manager, how jealous or not jealous are you of Ollie's position this year?
Well, he's in a really tough spot because, you know, he's still working for the old boss, the one who hired him. And John Mozeliak had promoted Ollie Marmol's career like every step of the way. I mean, Mo was the guy in charge when they drafted him as a player. He made him an instructor. He made him a coach. He made him a manager in the minors, brought him to the major league as a coach, then put him in the manager's job. So all of a sudden, you know, his benefactor, Ollie's benefactor, is going to be gone. And we don't know what Chaim Bloom thinks of Ollie Marmol. We don't know if Chaim Bloom's got some other ideas. We do know this. Chaim Bloom's going to be watching closely because he's going to be the man in charge as soon as this season is over. And he's going to be taking notes. And I think he's going to be looking at things like, you know, how Ollie deploys his personnel, his lineup construction, how he handles the pitching, the general day-to-day personnel decisions, some of the tactics. I mean, Bloom is not going to miss a lot of details. And he is a blank slate because we don't know what he thinks about Ollie. But Ollie thought he was going to be managing a team that was in kind of a reset, a soft rebuild, whatever you want to call it. And it's not that team at all, because John Mozeliak's kind of raised the ante. It's like, well, we think we can exceed expectations. Well, we think we can be pretty good. We think we can be entertaining. We think we can do this. You know, dropping hints, he thinks they can contend. So all of a sudden, the manager's in a different spot because it's going to be more expected. He will be expected to win more than I would have imagined, say, at the end of last season when they announced this reset that never became a reset.
Bernie, the NCAA tournament technically has been going on for a couple of days, but this is the day it ramps up. Couple of games. One is underway now. Another one is starting in like a minute or two. Mizzou will play later on today. They've got Drake. It's a 6:35 game. Before that, though, SIUE will play in its first ever tournament game. That is a 1 o'clock game ongoing today. So what are you looking forward to today?
Well, the Mizzou-Drake game is a great matchup. As far as SIUE, I mean, I think it's wonderful they're there, but they were going up against a Houston team that's got just a ridiculously tough defense. And for all the things we love about the SIUE story, their offense this year was like 255th in the nation. So, I mean, I hope they can make it a game, but listen, I got to be honest and pragmatic here. I don't see it. Mizzou and Drake is compelling. You know why? Because since 2011, when they went to the first four format, the number 11 seed has upset the number six seed 28 times. And that's the biggest spot for upsets in the last 13 tournaments, 11 beating six. And Drake happens to be an outstanding number 11 seed, and they slow the pace, get down. Because of that, they've only allowed 58 points per game, which is the lowest scoring average against any defense in the country, because they're methodical, they're slow, they don't run, they run their sets over and over again until the defense cracks. So Mizzou will have about 10 to 12 fewer possessions tonight, because Mizzou's got a lot of people can score, and Mizzou will be able to run, but their opportunities to run will be limited. And if they turn the ball over too many times, they'll have even fewer possessions. But Drake's pace could be the thing that keeps this game tight. And Mizzou lately has not had the advantage at the free throw line. And that's going to have to change tonight. And the one advantage Mizzou has by far is they are physical. They are rugged. They get inside the paint. They kind of bully their way in there. They have a great shooting percentage inside two-point range. They get to the free throw line a lot. And if Mizzou can do that with Mark Mitchell and others, and Caleb Grill gets hot tonight, I think they got a good chance to win it. But I'm not – I think I've seen a lot – frankly, I've seen a lot of Mizzou fans kind of cocky about this. I wouldn't be cocky about this one.
Well,
you know what? If you don't mind me throwing in one more thing,
sure.
I keep a close watch on the betting markets, right? All the sharp money is not only coming in on Drake to cover the 6.5 point spread. About an hour ago, I checked again, and the sharp money's coming in about 68% for Drake to win the game outright.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, whoa. But this is a very tricky game for Mizzou.
Mizzou is the 6.5-point favorite. That game is at 6:35 tonight. SIUE will play the number one seed at 1 o'clock today. So that is what's going on. Bernie Miklas, next week, we're going to start with the Gas House Gang. That'll be on at noon, live on KMOX on 104.1 FM. And you're going to be part of it a couple of days a week. I know your role is expanding here, so we're looking forward to that. And I will talk to you next week.
Let's do a little better on Trump, okay? And I can't believe Chris let you get away with that a few minutes ago.
It was very bad.
That's right. Amy does a really bad in person. Pretty much of everybody. All
Except
of your impersonations suck. Well, that's not any real
Wisconsin person.
But if you give yourself a Wisconsin accent, you sound real good.
I sound great talking as a Wisconsinian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Trump one wasn't great.
No, you're not very good at that. But that you don't need to be. That's not your lane.
Wait, now I can't channel it. Hold on.
What are you trying to channel?
Wait, what? Like I said, we're doing a time change. It's the best. It's the best time change. And we're looking into it. I don't know. I just like his phrases. Like, I like how he'll say, like, I'm gonna go eat lunch. Lunch, that's what I call it. That's what everybody calls it. But I love how he says, that's what I call it. I'm getting into my car. Car, that's what I call it.
We're starting at 9 a.m. At least I call it 9 a.m. We're starting at 9 a.m. on Monday. The Chris and Amy show is moving up an hour.
Yeah.
9 to noon starting Monday on 104.1 FM.
Picture this. Monday morning, you wake up, you have some coffee, and you think, I'm going to listen to the Chris and Amy show at 9 a.m. on 104.1 FM.
Mm-hmm.
mind blown.
Imagine thinking it's 10 o'clock still, and you show up, and we're talking about the fact that we've been on for an hour already, and you go, what?
You don't want to be late to the party.
Yeah, don't be late. Monday at 9, we get started. It's a new time slot for us. 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
It will be the Gas House Gang doing some sports from 12 to 1, and then Dave Glover takes over. At 5 o'clock, the Redbird Rush Hour, heavy Cardinals presence, but there will also be traffic, so don't worry. If you're driving around, need your traffic reports.
Hey,
so the lineup changing a little bit.
In the next hour, we are going to discuss, not at length, but at least give you a hefty preview of our pizza tournament.
Yeah.
That's our March Madness tournament is pizza. For those of you who remember the sandwich scandal from last year, this time it's pizza. And we're doing a field of 64.
Mm-hmm.
So we need your pizza place suggestions.
Nominate a pizza place.
For the best pizza in St. Louis. We'll talk about it more in the next hour because it's going to be fun.
Also, we're giving away tickets to see Collective Soul
and Live.
We'll be doing that next hour as well. You need to be listening for your chance to win those tickets. But the SIU Edwardsville Cougars are playing their first ever tournament game at 1 o'clock today. When we come back, the voice of Cougars basketball, Joe Pott, and KMOXer Joe Pott. He's with us next.